Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today, and we are thankful that you are joining in by dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about, can America survive the constitutional challenge? That constitutional challenge happens to have just boiled to the forefront. There's a lawsuit that's been filed against Chief Justice John Roberts, and the article reads in part, and another article I've read before the break for our news, says Stephen Miller's American First Legal drops a bombshell lawsuit against Chief Justice John Roberts. The lawsuit, listen to this, the lawsuit accuses the powerful duo of running what AFL describes as an unconstitutional shadow agency and violating the federal transparency laws. The lawsuit was filed, slams the judicial conference, the judicial conference of the United States and its administrative arm, both overseen by Chief Justice, as rogue executive agencies that have collaborated with far-left lawmakers to wage lawfare against conservative Supreme Court justices. It reads then further. For several years, the media and enterprising lawmakers have launched an onslaught to destroy the impartiality and the political neutrality of Article III courts, and particularly the Supreme Court. Justice Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh have all faced political and physical threats because of the politicalization and weaponization of the law. And that goes further. But we have Jim on the line. Jim and I were talking just before the break about this organization, this group, whatever it is, that's called the Judicial Conference of the United States. And this Judicial Conference of the United States, Jim, as I understand it, is headed by Chief Justice John Roberts, and he is also Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And his organization, i.e. the Judicial Conference of the United States, is supposed to oversee the activities, the morals, ethics, and the values, et cetera, the constitutionality of what's done in the Supreme Court and all of the federal judges. Now, what say you? I have never heard, and maybe it's just my ignorance of U.S. constitutional law and how that's handled, but I've never heard of that. What are your thoughts, and how should we view this?
I actually read up a little bit on what the Judiciary Conference is. It's nothing more than, let's say, you're a diamond grinder and you go to a conference with a bunch of others, diamond grinders or whatever your profession is, and you exchange ideas. As far as the administrative part of it there, Stephen Miller's suit, if I recall correctly, is accusing both of those organizations of colluding with far left activist groups for judicial lawfare against Trump, the Trump administration, And that's completely wrong. I think the problem is going to lie with the Freedom of Information Act trying to get them to open documents that are available for public review. I don't know that the judiciary is, is bound by those Freedom of Information Act. So it'll be interesting to see where this suit goes. But if it's true, that means that Roberts has a reason to not have this disclosed. And then the second thing is he capable of sitting as this Chief Justice and not have to recuse himself from a lot of lawsuits that have come forward from the lower courts?
You're exactly right. Either that, or he will be required by the House, in my opinion, to step down as the Supreme Court Justice. I've said for quite some time, there's something that is wrong with Chief Justice John Roberts. There's something that's compromising him for not taking a stand that is morally, ethically, and constitutionally correct. I've seen him waffle too many times on issues. And by the way, for your edification, in this article says, according to the explosive complaint, the Judicial Conference and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, long presumed exempt from freedom of information, that's the FOIA request, have functioned more like executive agencies rather than a neutral arm of the judiciary. And this organization that has filed suit against, which is the America First Legal, argues that these entities must, and it's an emphasis in the article, comply with the FOIA request because they exercise, quote, executive power, including responding to congressional oversight and issuing binding regulations, all under the direction of John Roberts himself. And then it goes on to say that this organization, America First Legal, lawsuit stems from its FOIA request for communications between these agency and White House and Johnson, two of the most vocal Democrat crusaders against conservative justices. So when you boil it down, Jim, as I perceive it, this is all fomented to the top, bringing about the lawsuit, because it's evident that there is a political bias within John Roberts and his organizational structure for the Judicial Conference, as well as his decisions in the Supreme Court. So if there's a bias, a political bias, he can no longer rule, in my opinion, as Chief Justice, much less as a Supreme Court Justice. What say you?
Yeah, at that point, he should step down if there is a bias, or if it's proven that he's done actions that violate the oath of his office there. To be honest with you, I'm not really overjoyed about Amy Coney Barrett either. I see her ruling with the far left quite often, and she was touted as a conservative justice. So,
what can we say? We've got one Chief Justice that said she cannot say what a woman is because she's not a biologist. So that should be a little tip off that we have a Supreme Court that's pretty biased and not knowing how they should rule and what they should do. I'm amazed that we have such as that sitting on the courts that will make such a blatant, stupid, dumb statement that, you know, I can't identify what a woman is because I'm not a biologist, and yet she was confirmed anyway. So I blame the conservatives in the House and the Senate that confirmed her, rather than saying, no, you, if you don't know what a woman is, ma'am, you cannot go on the Supreme Court. But nevertheless, yeah. That's what we have. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
The input. God bless you, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a meme that I find fascinating. It shows a gigantic cake and President Trump atop the cake. And it says over the little cupcake to the side, says 100 days of Trump. And then the giant cake says, and just 1,361 days to come. So we've just seen the tip of the iceberg with what President Trump has started and what he, I believe, can do. Ladies and gentlemen, headline says, teacher calls for the assassination of Trump supporters. of Trump and his supporters. The latest chapter of the leftists and the Democrats advocating for the violence, even murder, has arrived. There long have been statements by that community that call for the removal of or the elimination of Donald Trump, verbiage that once report to Cole was assassination preparation. It's a teacher in the state of Maine that has publicly called for Trump's assassination, in her words, and the assassination, the elimination of all of the Trump followers, all of those in the orbit of President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I've not seen any headline, any news, where she's been arrested, where she's been charged with a threat on the life of the president, and yet we have those in the Supreme Court, including John Roberts, that think somehow, some way, that it's okay to have that taking place, and it's not okay for President Trump to run the executive branch as the Constitution calls for him to run it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today that suit that's against John Roberts as the Chief Justice that's going to boil to the top, and there will be a decision that will be made. And the decision is going to be made based on whether or not John Roberts is biased in his decisions or whether or not he is an unbiased justice that can continue to rule as Supreme Court Chief Justice. Because, ladies and gentlemen, let's face it, there's been suit after suit after suit against President Trump and all of those in his cabinet and all of the decisions Trump has made, executive orders and otherwise. There's been a suit filed in just about everyone. It's like chess, you know, you move here, you're blocked, you move here, you're blocked. Any move that Trump makes, he's been blocked. Suit against Trump for deporting illegal invaders. A suit for Trump against Trump about Doge and what they're finding with the hundreds of billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse. And yet, from the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, there seems to be no concern about the waste, fraud, and abuse, and therefore there's some small judge in a small court in a small circuit, as I've said so often, that's filed a suit, and the courts have blocked President Trump in continuing to do what God has called him to do in his executive branch position that is given the authority in our Constitution to protect America, to be the one that is the chief of all of our military. Ladies and gentlemen, suits against President Trump, suits blocking the cutting of USAID, been about where this waste and fraud and abuse been discovered, suits to block Trump from anything that will do with the thousands upon thousands of thousands, multiple thousands of those that he's trying to deport as a result of being here illegally. Suits being brought against President Trump in his executive order to stop the males and female sports. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I could go on infinitum with what the courts have done in their suits against President Trump, trying to block him, stop him, hamper him, hamstring him, to prevent him from carrying out what his responsibilities are under the Constitution. I'm appalled by the fact that we have those that are calling for violence against President Trump, violence against his followers, violence against Elon Musk. Here's a headline. Governor Pritzker called for violence against the GOP Republicans, cannot know a moment of peace. That's coming from a man that's the governor of a state. Never before, this article reads, never before in my life have I called for a mass protest, for mass mobilization, for mass disruptions, but I am now, said Governor Pritzker. This is an article dated the 28th of April from the stage of the New Hampshire Democratic Party McIntyre-Shaden 100 Club dinner. Governor Pritzker urged mass protest, mobilization, and disruption. He says the Republicans, quote, I'm quoting him now, cannot know a moment of peace. These Republicans cannot know peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone, with every microphone, everything that we have on hand. We must castigate them on a soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box. Governor Pritzker then called out do-nothing Democrats who want to blame our losses on our defense of black people or trans kids or immigrants as though any of those persons are under some kind of attack. Quote, we will never join so many Republicans. We will relegate their priorities, their portraits to museum halls reserved for tyrants and traitors. the groundwork for Pritzker's comments was in the fact that he was making the statements following what Maxine Waters had called for in her confrontation of President Trump. And I could go on and on. Point being, ladies and gentlemen, how can President Trump rule as God has given him the authority to do so and the responsibility found in our Constitution? And biblically speaking, ladies and gentlemen, God has placed him in that position that I've said time and time again. One of the things that I think that we see taking place, and we have a mirror of that, that we find in the Scripture. In fact, in Daniel, the sixth chapter, the fact that Daniel was about to be chosen as priority over all of those in the leadership role in the government of that day. It was the petition of Daniel. I'm going to read two or three verses and we'll talk about it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes who should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and that the king would be able to have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, if I can tell you the rest of the story, the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel was the one that the king was choosing. He wanted him to be the chief of staff, if you will, rather than the others. He was viewed as being faithful. He was viewed as being friendly. He was viewed as being fearless. But ladies and gentlemen, his enemies in the political scenario of that day, his enemies decided, we're going to stop Daniel. If you please, what took place, they searched his Twitter account. They looked at his Facebook account. They sent Merrick Garland's DOJ to examine Daniel's garbage cans, to see if they could tap his phones and censor his online messages to find something wrong with him. But as you read the balance of the text, ladies and gentlemen, they found that Daniel was faultless with one exception, his relationship to God. And they determined that we're going to lie to the king that all of us have met. We've determined in a vote among all of the princes for the kingdom, we're going to vote and cast the ballot. And when we vote, they told the king that everybody, it was a unified vote, that everybody wanted the king to sign a decree that no one in the kingdom could pray for the next 30 days, could not pray to any god except to the king. Hear me. That's very much like we see taking place today. Because of the political bias, because of the political envy, because of the political mindset that we're going to take Trump out. And when you see people like Governor Pritzker that's now advocating for the blockage and stoppage of anything that Trump does, when you see what's happening politically, and John Roberts and the Supreme Court ought not to be political, but when you see what's happening politically out of the Supreme Court and out of the underling judges across America that's signing off and buying into the fact that they can control the executive branch, it's the same thing that we saw in the book of Daniel, where the mindset is that we need to entrap him some way with the law. We need to make a law somehow that we can use lawfare against Daniel to prevent Daniel from carrying out the task that God is leading him to do and God has placed him in a position to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, they set the trap. They tried to, after they got the law signed, Daniel then had to make a decision. Should I bow or should I bend to the Supreme Court of that day? Should I allow the Supreme Court of that day to adjudicate my prayer life and whether or not I can pray to God? Daniel, I'm sure, had to make the determination, am I willing to take a stand, or will I bow and bend to the whims and the wishes of the Supreme Court of my era? I'm calling it that. The Bible doesn't. But the king had signed the decree that no one could pray to any god for the next 30 days. Daniel, knowing that, Daniel realizing that, Daniel recognizing that if he were to go against the law, then his life would be in jeopardy. What did Daniel do? Did he whimper and cry? Did he say, I'm going to bow? did Daniel say that, well, that's what the law says, I'm going to do it? The Supreme Court of that day says it. John Roberts was alive and well in that day. And so therefore, if John Roberts says it, or if Merrick Garland says it, or if Barack Obama says it, or if Sleepy Joe Biden says it, then I'm going to bow and do it. He didn't do that. What did Daniel do? He made a determination that I'm going to obey God rather than man. Just as in the 5th chapter and the 29th verse of the book of Acts, Peter said we ought to obey God and not man. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an era that we need to recognize what is happening on a national basis, a global basis, international basis, and a local basis. We need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. Nothing is new. According to Daniel, the 12th chapter, nothing is new. We're seeing a replay of what has been, of what has taken place of old, and it's now coming to the forefront with different names, different titles, different faces, different, if you please, sources, but it's from the same ultimate source, and that is Satan and the demons trying to tear down and destroy what God is wanting to be done through our president. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the new suit that's been filed against Chief Justice John Roberts and his group. There's a major, major need to recognize that according to the Bible, a judge that will take a bribe, a court that will take a bribe, cannot render judgment. For example, Exodus 23:8 says, do not accept a bribe. I'm paraphrasing. And in this verse, God commands the Israelites not to accept bribes. A bribe, this writer says, can even blind those who are clear-sighted, meaning it can distort a person's judgment and decision-making. Bribery undermines justice and fairness, leading to unjust outcomes. This warning is a reminder that bribery is not only wrong, but it can corrupt one's ability to make a righteous decision. Deuteronomy 16:19 says, do not pervert justice. This verse retaliates against anybody that will say somehow, some way, it's okay to take a bribe. This verse says the danger of bribery, emphasizing that it perverts justice. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go through dozens of biblical verses that warn about the danger of bribery. And listen very carefully. My opinion, you can have a different opinion at your leisure. My opinion, Chief Justice John Roberts is compromised. How is he compromised? Where is he compromised? What is the compromise? I do not know. I could make a lot of guessings, but I do not know. But in either case, his compromise could be constituted, when you look at the Bible, as a bribery, of taking a bribe to make a decision. But ladies and gentlemen, it is fallacious for John Roberts to think that somehow, some way, he is in a seat of authority when he is very evidently in a compromised position. Proverbs 17:23 talks about bribes and wickedness. The wicked accept a bribe in secret to pervert the way of justice. And the verse speaks very definitely and clearly of the wickedness of bribery. It reveals that the act of accepting a bribe often happens in secret. Naturally, that's the case, indicating it's hidden, and it's a hidden agenda of corruption that could not be carried out otherwise without the bribery of justice. Proverbs 15:27 talks about greed and corruption, greed for bribery. A little dollar or two. By the way, I don't know the source, but the truth is, when AOC came into office, there was, I believe it was either $1,600 or $1,900 tax bill that she could not pay. Did not have the money. Basically penniless. And now some, what is it, 4 years, 5 years later, she is worth, I'm told, about $22 million. Where'd it come from? It certainly did not come from her $169,000 a year salary in the U.S. House of Representatives. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we need to ask the question, very serious question, is it possible that we will see the collapse of the United States Constitutional Republic as a result of this lawsuit? Can America survive the constitutional challenge that now has been opened as a result of what is taking place with the lawsuit coming against Chief Justice John Roberts? Looking at the headline gives you an idea of why it's so needed in America to have justice and not bribery. This headline says, absolutely bonkers. Lawmakers refuse to make buying kids for sex a felony. In case you've been taken aback, let me read that headline again. absolutely bonkers. Lawmakers refused to make buying kids for sex a felony. Then the article reads in part, they're revealing inevitably that LGBTQ individuals are apparently regular participants in the sex trafficking of minors. May I just pause and say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Article reads, lawmakers in California stunningly have refused to make buying kids for sex a felony. There's a new report in the Federalist that explains the antics of the Democrats who insisted on having their way with a new law and what it means. The report, written as a commentary, explained, should it be a felony to purchase an underage minor for illegal sex? For the most of us, the answer is very simple and easy. Yes, this is not a hard one. But for Democrats in the state of California, they feel differently. This reads, the state assembly there this past week considered a bill, AB 379, that would have amended state law to make it a felony to solicit paid sex from any person under 18 years of age. In other words, if you seek out to pay a minor for sex, if you engage in a child sex trafficking, you would be guilty of a felony. But the Democrats there mounted a major, major opposition to the bill. They said they wanted to protect, hear me, they wanted to protect the LGBTQ kids in the state of California. In other words, the LGBTQ kids are open prey for the sex fiends in California to prey on those young kids in the state of California. Why is that necessary? Ladies and gentlemen, because Trump was put in office, I believe, by divine intervention of God to clean out, to make sure that we clean the sewer, drain the swamp, and clean the sewer. And to stop the waste, fraud, and abuse from a financial standpoint, and also the fraud and the waste and the immoral happenings in our nation because of what laws are doing. I believe it's time that we, as Christians, pray and say, God, just as in the book of Daniel, God, I see what the handwriting on the wall says. I see what is taking place to our nation, and I'm going to pray and ask you to divinely intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to pray and ask God to continue to give wisdom to President Trump, that we need to pray and ask God to continue to give him strength and tenacity and a spine wide enough to take a stand, even with all of the onslaught of the suits against him. We need also pray, ladies and gentlemen, that God would intervene in this lawsuit that's against Chief Justice John Roberts, that justice will prevail and that John Roberts will no longer have the bias that wants to tear down and destroy what God has wanted to do through Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
A little bitty word that makes a real big difference that could change someone's life today.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson.